Psalm 8. Psalm 8's a hymn of praise. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. I often think of the heavens your hands have made and of the moon and the stars that you've set in place, and I ask, why do you care about us humans? You've made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honour. You made us rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under our feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And now from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't worry about about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat or about your body or about what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens." I actually wanted to change that to magpies, but I thought best leave it as it is. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And some words from the Apostle Paul from the book of Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Richard Rohr, a contemporary theologian, writes, "The incarnation of God did not happen at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. That was just when some of us started taking it seriously. The incarnation actually happened approximately 14.5 billion years ago, with the moment we now call the Big Bang. That is when God actually decided to materialise and expose who God is. This alone provides any solid basis for reverence, universal sacrality, and our attempts to form a spiritual ecology that transcends groups and religions. 2,000 years ago marked the human incarnation of God in Jesus. We Christians believe, but before that, there was the first and original incarnation through light, water, land, sun, moon, stars, planets, trees, fruit, birds, serpents, cattle, fish, and every kind of wild beast, according to the Genesis story. This is where the cosmic Christ, through which God has let us know the mystery of his purpose, the hidden plan he so kindly made from beginning to the Christ. Let's consider for one moment our environment. Let's pause and think and pray about our world and the universe in which we not only live, but we exist. For the environment that assists us to live, for how all is connected and relevant. For how the trees and the mountains teach us about worship. For Isaiah writes, "The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands." Psalm 96, "Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord." And Psalm 148, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights. Praise him, his angels and all the hosts. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creepy things, flying birds, crows, magpies and even ravens. Praise the Lord." So today we thank God for everything around us, for the chairs on which we sit, the church's foundation, the soil with its burrowing animals and insects, the rocks that lay down underneath our foundations, layered and layered into by the sea in ancient times, the waters that flow in subterranean streams far beneath us, the miles upon miles of bedrock till we get to the middle of the heart of this planet, of molten rock deep down into the heart of the earth. Thank you, God, for everything above us. The roof that shelters us, the wind swirling, the birds soaring and singing, aeroplanes and clouds high above, the upper atmosphere and the stratosphere, satellites orbiting and meteorites whizzing, the moon, the planets, the solar systems, the asteroids, comets, supernovas and black holes, for galaxy upon galaxy stretching away into the vastness of space. The wide span of your work is indeed a mystery, O God. You know, we can't fathom it. God, you are beneath us, you're above us, you are in us. God of all, we are in you. Help us to feel your presence, particularly this day. In the love we share, in the praise that we offer, the faithful servants as one being of the big picture. I'm another in the long line of admirers. Adam and Eve admiring in the garden. Abraham staring open mouth at the stars. Elijah running through the beautiful rain. And David singing on the hillsides, attending his sheep. God's praises being sung throughout the ages. Praise to a creator who stands the test of time. And yes, it's my turn in this time and this place. I close the computer. I open the back door and walk outside. Step into the garden. My heart is a sounding board for the night sky, deep with stars, the fragrance of the rain and the blossoms and the trees. The crickets sing and keep me awake at night. It's all God's earth. And we're called to care for it. So what do we do with the parts per million, invisible to the naked eye, that change our atmosphere? The thinning of the ice caps, raising of the oceans, transforming our weather. What about the beached whale? The bewildered polar bears? The news of one more species never to be seen again through extinction? Creation has cared for me. It's nurtured me, held me close, and taught me to sing. I don't know what it will be today. A song of lament or praise, a song of justice or a chant of peace, a song for change or of hope, or maybe even healing. I open my eyes and I open my lips and I open my ears. Creator God, thank you that we are a connected people. And we are connected in more ways than we've ever, ever been in history. We're connected with wires and cables and Wi-Fi. The internet. Connected by roads, train tracks, flight paths. We're more connected than any other time and any other generation in all of human or created history. Yet something isn't right. Something's not right. Sometimes we're overwhelmed. There are too many people to connect with. In our frantic drive to be connected, we miss the elemental necessity of touch and connection. We breathe the same air that others breathe. We walk the same earth and tread the same paths, and we return to dust like all living things. As human beings in this global family, we are called to nourish it, to protect it, to steward it. We are part of it. It is God's body, God's created environment. Richard Rohr would say that if the world was created by God, it would seem to follow that, therefore, that everything without exception, would bear the clear imprint and likeness of God. He goes on to say, this earth indeed is the very body of God, and it is from his body, this body, that we are born, live, suffer, and resurrect to eternal life. Either all is God's great project, or may we rightly wonder whether anything actually is. Now, it's great to think about the creation. It's great to think about the Creator, more importantly. It's fantastic to hear the magpie sing and see the sunrise and sunset, and we go, oh, that's lovely. To smell the eucalypt trees. But what are we doing about it? Whilst Jesus doesn't say a lot about the environment, or at least not much recorded in our scriptures, he does say, consider the lilies, the birds that have no nests, the foxes that have holes, the vineyards, the olive tree, the fig tree. You don't see the word photosynthesis in the Bible, but you do find that the creation worships the Creator. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy. St. Paul would write on the state of the environment, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains until now. Not only in the creation, but we ourselves, the first fruits, groan inwardly. Maybe Paul is saying that we humans are the last ones to jump onto God's big idea. There is groaning in growing. There is groaning in waiting and resisting. There is groaning in creation. What do we care about the big holes that we dig in the ground? That we strip the fields of vegetation? That we fill the oceans and waterways with plastic and single-use, non-degradable coffee cups? Continue to pump toxins into the air and kill endangered species for sport? Have you ever stopped to think about where that new plastic bag that you take from the vegetable section of the supermarket and you place into that single-use plastic bag one avocado that needs no wrapping? And you take home that and you probably put that single bag into another bag at the checkout. And you take home that single-use bag and take out the avocado and put that single-use bag in the bin or recycling, and hopefully it gets recycled. But the trees of the field will certainly clap their hands but I think the oceans weep tears when that plastic bag is swallowed by a whale or a shark thinking it's food. Thank God for our environment today. Wouldn't it be the last and greatest humiliation, says Richard Rohr. Surely the first being last, as Jesus says. If one day we realised that all other creatures have obeyed their destiny unblinkably and with trustful surrender, all except us. Just watch the plants and animals for a short while, and we might just see their loving obedience and connectedness with the body of God. One beautiful and multitudinous life. A reflection from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. The earth's crust, the earth's surface, the earth's atmosphere, from molten rocks to galaxies. All this, everything is the Lord's. The world is the Lord's. The working world, the academic world, the old world, the new world order, the world wide web, the real world. The whole world is the Lord's. The world and all those who live in it, all creatures, great and small, all swimming, flying, crawling, creeping beings. Birds singing your praise with crickets, speckled trout showing your glory, elephants and krill, alive and replicating, all made by you, all belong to you, God of the world, God of this great blue globe, God of mystery and infinite variety, we are yours together. Help us live this mutual life, conjoined, inseparable, intimate. On this Environment Sunday, we give God, the Creator, our thanks and our praise.